Our Lord and our God, we come before you. We lift up the beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would be with the speaker, that we would be very careful to bring forth thy word, that you would lead us and guide us. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for what he means to us as the one that was born of a virgin who came here to this earth for the purpose to die for our sins. We thank you, Father, he is the Lord of glory, seated at thy right hand. We pray, Father, thanking you for who he is. In Christ's name, amen. Hello, once again, as we are looking at the person of Christ in our studies this week, we have been looking at how and why the Lord Jesus Christ, as he walked this earth, not only did not sin, but could not sin. No possibility of sin. This is theologically spoken of as the impeccability of Christ, without sin, no taint of sin. Now, as we were considering this, let's pick up with some of the reasons why Christ could not have sinned. We saw, looking at a few verses, to suggest Christ could have sinned would question his deity, it would question the sovereignty of God, and it would question the oath or the word of God, particularly the Old Testament prophecy would be in question. So then we see now, to say that Christ could have sinned, let's say that this, fourthly, would question the immutability of God. That is, the fact that God does not change. We know that Christ could not have sinned because Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, we see how he would deal with man in different ways, in different circumstances, but yet he himself, his person, who he is, does not change. Now, he was able to work in the eternal past, and yet he came as the angel of the Lord. It shows the deity there of the one speaking to many Old Testament saints. And then he came as manifest in the flesh as he walked this earth and died upon the cross for us. Then he ascended back to heaven and he's there with a glorified body. And he's our great high priest in heaven now. He'll be the judge in the future. Many things that Christ has done and will do, but he himself, as far as his person is concerned, does not change. He is unchanging. He is immutable. Therefore, he could not sin. This gets into the character of God. His character does not change. We'll look at that in just a moment. Now, our fifth point of why Christ could not have sinned, because it would have questioned the very will of God. Still in the book of John, if you remember, when we were in John chapter 5, notice how the scripture tells us, in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And it goes on to say, then answered Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. So we say here that to say Christ could have sinned would infringe upon, would question the will of God. Here, Christ states that he could not do independently from the Father. Now again, ones would come up, take this out of context, and say, ah, he must have been inferior to the Father if he couldn't do without the Father. Well, my friend, let me give you an illustration. When he said he could not do, it was as if he were saying, I will not, because the Father and the Son refuse to work independently from one another. This example, if I were a young boy and I was in a candy store with my friend and he said, well, whisper to me, you know, neither one of us have any change, but it'd be nice to have a little bit of that, some of those bubblegum cards. How about sticking one in your pocket and we'll we'll look at him when we get outside. Well, now, if this young fellow, if it was me and I was raised properly and I didn't give in to pressure, and I answered this friend of mine and said, I cannot do that. I can't do that. Now, what would I be saying? It's not that I literally could not do it. What I would be telling my friend was, I will not do it. You see, it's saying that I cannot do it in the sense of I will not do it. So as we see the father here and the son, look at it in this connection. He would not or could not. They refused to work independent from one another. They were in perfect unison. Perfect unison. The will of God, as we quoted the other day in Hebrews 10:7, the scripture tells us, lo, it is written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. So we see that God's purposes were fulfilled in the person of his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So for one to suggest that Christ could have sinned would be to say or to question the very will of God. Certainly it was not the will of God for Christ to sin, was it? And we know he didn't, but to say that he had the possibility of sinning would again be very contradictive to Scripture. Now we see the next point, to say Christ could have sinned would be to question the very character of God. You know, in Isaiah 43:15, it speaks about the Holy One. Then we turn over to Luke 1:35, in the birth of Christ. There it speaks about the holy thing. The holy thing. The one that was about to be born of a virgin. And he was called the holy thing. Now, this is very important. This is part of the list of characteristics of God. This is a character of God. His holiness. His holiness. To say that he could have sinned would be to question the very character of God, the one who is the Holy One, the one that is called the Holy Thing, the Holy Child, as he was born, incarnated, God manifest in the flesh, as he came here to this earth, the God-man, to die for your sin and mine. And then, lastly on this section, I'd point out that to say that Christ could have sinned would question the impeccability of Christ. Now, that's the very theme of our series. Impeccability, no taint, no fault found in the person of Christ. He did no sin, he knew no sin, and in him was no sin. Now, let's look back at our passages in Hebrews. This is where ones would bring up the question and say, well, could he have sinned? Because how else could he be a faithful and merciful high priest? How else could he really have compassion upon where I am? How could he really be there in my place if he did not even have the opportunity, or that is, the capacity to sin? And again, we must go back and say that he did not nor could not sin. Now here in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to help or succor them that are tempted. Now, when we think of the word tempt in the scripture, often the word, if you look up in the Greek concordance, it is the word for testing or to try or to prove something. Now, this is very important because let's think of how Christ was tempted by Satan in Luke chapter 4. Well, now that was a temptation to prove that Christ could not sin, not to test him in the sense of seeing if he would. It was to prove that he couldn't. It was to prove the sinlessness of Christ, not to see if he would sin. Think of this illustration. Pure gold put in a fire. If it's something that without any question or shadow of doubt that you know is pure, if you put it in the fire, what are you doing? You are just proving what you know is a fact already. It's not that you're trying to see if there's impurities in it. If it's already been tested out, it's already been proven, then that gold, you know that it's pure. You're not looking for any impurities. It's just to prove the fact to someone else. So we see that Christ, no possibility of sin, when he was tempted of Satan, when he was there in the desert, in the wilderness, it was to prove his sinlessness. Now, think of me with this question. If one consider to say, well, could Christ have sinned? Then, my friend, be very careful, because to say he could have sinned means that he might have sinned. And then the whole purposes of God would have been in question. It would have been on hold. There would be question marks until Christ actually said it is finished and gave up the ghost. But my friend, as we alluded to yesterday, the Old Testament scripture had already declared of this Messiah coming and dying for the sin of the world. There was no question. So we see again, Christ could not have sinned, and he did not. Another point here of temptation, notice there's a difference between inward temptation and outward temptation. Now, there's two different Greek words here in James chapter 1. When you read here in 1:13, one means to try and one means not temptable. You cannot tempt. Okay, James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So notice here, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. It speaks about the lust of the desire that we have in us. When it is when this is enticed, we see that the lust is conceived and bringeth forth sin. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, had no capacity to sin. Now, let's think of this illustration quickly. We see that it's one thing to be solicited from the outward, another thing to actually consider it. Think of a thief that goes into a bar somewhere, and he's looking for an accomplice to rob the bank. He's going through the town just for that day or so. He sits down on one side. There's a man. He doesn't know it, but he's filling him out to see if he would be willing to help him rob the bank. And there's another man on the other side. Well, he didn't realize it, but the man on one side was actually the owner of the bank. The man on the other side was an ex-con who had done this before. So the man that was actually the owner of the bank, he had no inward temptation to rob that bank. It was his money. I mean, his investment. He had no temptation inside. But he had that external temptation from this thief trying to tempt him to help him. But he himself had no consideration inwardly to do this. But the other man, who had done this very thing before, he had an inward temptation. He considered, saying, maybe I'll help this fellow. Maybe we'll get rich. I'll try it again. See, that's the difference between an inward temptation of considering something and the possibilities there compared to someone who would not even fathom it, would not even consider it. This is the difference between Christ and us. In him is no sin. Join us again tomorrow. This is Mike Moody with Mark Beebe, Jeff Buckles with Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.